I've been looking at a paper about how we might be able to store carbon dioxide beneath the Earth's surface. And on paper, this is quite a neat idea, because where's the carbon dioxide that we're releasing to the atmosphere coming from? Well, it's coming from burning coal and from burning oil that we're extracting from beneath the Earth's surface. So people have asked, well, could we take the carbon dioxide, which of course when we release into the atmosphere to greenhouse gas, and put it back where that carbon came from, into the coal mines, into the oil fields, and mean that that carbon dioxide isn't having harmful effects in the atmosphere?
Trouble is that, are we not storing up trouble for the future? Because if we put it back down there and we don't keep it down there and it's convulsively burped up later, it could spell disaster, because there'd be millions of tonnes coming out all at once.
Yes, well, a paper written in PNAS this week by James Verdon of the University of Bristol actually looks at some of the possible things we need to worry about. And there's quite a long list of them. You can have chemical reactions beneath the Earth's surface, because CO2, when it dissolves in water, is quite acidic. And you're typically storing it in chalk and limestone and so on. And so you can have chemical reactions there that can destabilise that rock beneath the Earth's surface. And if you've got a layer of material above where the carbon dioxide is, which is holding it in, if you erode that material, then it can leak up out of your pit back into the Earth's atmosphere. And if you're trying to hold this stuff for thousands of years beneath the Earth's surface, then you really don't want it to start leaking, because that could have absolutely catastrophic effects in the future. So this paper actually looked at three sites where people have tried experimentally storing CO2 in oil fields where oil has been previously extracted. And they've then gone out with seismometers to look for small earthquakes, and they've done geological surveys with GPS units on the Earth's surface to see if they can find any movement of the Earth's surface above these oil fields. And in fact, the results are rather worrying, I think, because on two of these three sites they studied, they found quite a high incidence of very small earthquakes after the CO2 had been put down there. And the third site we looked at, which was in the North Sea, they didn't actually detect very much seismic activity afterwards. But that was a huge oil field that they'd only filled with about 3/1,000,000 of its capacity with CO2. So that was quite a small amount of CO2 they put into that.
How do they know that putting in the CO2 caused the earthquake and it wasn't going to happen anyway?
In many ways, that's quite a worry, because they're actually saying these are areas where there's been a lot of activity beneath the ground. There's been a lot of oil taken out. That in itself has created seismic activity. Now, they're not able to say very reliably what seismic activity is caused by historical mining and what activity has been caused by the new CO2 that's been put down there. But what they can say is that when the carbon dioxide was injected, there was a very sudden increase in this seismic activity. And if that's happening in year-long timescales after CO2 has been put there, it's very hard to say that was going to be safe for thousands of years into the future. So I think they're saying a lot more work has to be done to make sure this is safe.
The amount of CO2 we're talking about is not insubstantial, is it? I mean, we're pumping out billions of tonnes, something like 37 billion tonnes a year was the last figure I saw, I think, of CO2, which, if we're going to stay carbon neutral, all of that would have to go back under the ground. It's huge.
The other aspect of this is quite easy to do in power stations and so on, where you're generating all of your CO2 in one location, so you can collect it together. But obviously it doesn't work for cars, because your CO2 is coming out of vehicles distributed all across the country. And so collecting that is pretty much impossible.
Well, maybe the people we'll be talking to in a moment, who are actually striving to use solar power to power cars, will provide a solution to that. Thank you, Dominic. If you'd like to follow up on any of the references and the original papers for the news stories we've discussed so far today, then you can find them on our website at nakedscientists.com/news.